Well, this morning I have the privilege and honor of introducing one of the most influential people in my life. Growing up, my number one role model, my number one friend, the one that was always there, and the one I looked up to every day. The one that I knew I could share anything with and would receive wisdom from and guidance and comfort and no judgment. She's got an awesome heart and an awesome ear and seeks God like few I know. And I know when I was 6, one of the most traumatic things was this woman was going to move out of my house, and she was the one that I'd always go to when I was scared. She lived in the room next to me, and that's where I would go, and she's moving out, she's getting married, and I didn't understand. I said, are you still going to be part of my family? fast forwarding a few more years, one of the most devastating points in her life, at that point, she was moving back in, and I was 8, and I was excited because I didn't really understand. It was a hard time in her life, but I was happy to be living with my sister again. The age difference between us is a good 15 years, which made it so that she wasn't your typical friend. She wasn't your typical sister. We didn't fight, but somewhere in between role model, mother, sister, best friend, she was always there. And she has an amazing story. I watched her, you know, when I was a young teen going through a very, very, very tough time, multiple difficulties coming her way. And so I know she has something to share with each of you. I pray that your hearts are open. I know she's written a couple of books recently published, and I'd love for you to check those out after, to like her on Facebook, so she can have some more contacts, and more people can be blessed by what God is doing in and through her. So with no further words, because I've gone way too long, here is my sister, Katrina Welch.
You know, early when I was first starting to prepare to what would I speak and praying about it, and one day in worship, God said to me, make sure you're introduced. And when my sister said she'd come to the retreat, I was so excited that I could ask her to introduce me. But one thing that he was saying to me is how important the introduction is. Even though I'm like, I went through a little battle with him. Like, I hate the introductions, you know? I don't want to be bragged about. But he reminded me it's important that if you don't know who's going to speak to you, why would you listen to them? So, when you're in a tough time and you need some help, you don't want to go to someone that's never been through a tough time. It doesn't help. You know, they don't understand. And so I submitted, and I was very honored that it would be my sister that would introduce me. But I remember the visual that he gave me, the reminder he gave me was of when I got the news about my daughter. I was pregnant with her. I was supposed to have her in about 6 weeks. And there were a lot of things that sort of gave an idea that there's a problem, but I'm a very optimistic person. I'm woman of great faith, that's a gift from God, I know that. And so I never had any kind of fear whatsoever that there was a problem with this baby. And they wanted to do another ultrasound early on, and I said, oh no, I'm not worried about it, just because you can't see her spine and she was sleeping while you had the ultrasound, I'm not concerned. They were concerned, they said they couldn't count her fingers or her toes. And I always thought that was just a silly little thing, counting fingers. And I wasn't concerned about it. I really was not slightly concerned. And so I said, when the next ultrasound time is due, I will do another one then. Well, you'll see her spine then, everything will be fine, I trust God. If something's wrong, what am I going to do? I'm not aborting. And so I just kept going in faith that my pregnancy wasn't developing much. I had this little bitty belly, and I was like 8 months along now. And so I go for my ultrasound, I see more things, and they want to do a level two. So they send me to Boston, and I go to Boston, I have the level two ultrasound, and I'm sitting there watching it, and just in awe that you can see such dimension on this little baby in me. And I had still no idea that there's something wrong, something terribly wrong. And so when the doctor comes in to tell me, she used horrible words, like lethal and fatal. I hate those words to this day. But when she told me these horrible things about what was going on with this little baby in me, I was stone cold, not angry, not like, I didn't believe it. I just wasn't concerned. I just, no, God has created this child within me and I'm trusting Him. And really, the thing that kept going through my mind is, woman, I don't even know you. I don't even know anybody who knows you, and you're telling me my baby's going to die? I'm not listening to you. And so God reminded me of that and how important an introduction is. And I'll talk a little more about that at the end. But I just want you to know, yes, I have been through some things. The time I moved back in that Erica's talking about was when it's all pregnancies for me. My first pregnancy, my husband left me. I had just found out that I was pregnant, and I was very excited. We had planned this, we had waited for this, and when we found out that I was pregnant, he was excited. He insisted we go tell everybody. We brought a rose to each grandparent and made this special announcement, and I had wanted to wait till 3 months because I heard that was proper, you know, but no, he insisted we do it right now. I was so excited. And, you know, big deal. 10 days later, he said he'd leave with me. 10 days. So I went through that whole pregnancy alone. Tough time. But I moved back in with my mom and dad. And then Erica, I remember that day that she said, she was just so excited, this little girl, so excited. And I just looking at her, I'll see her face now. And my mom said to her, Erica, I don't think Trina's quite that excited right now. Because I'm just crying and she's so happy and she's so confused. And it was just such a tough time. But you know what? We get through these tough times. And we become a different person because of it. So before that divorce, I used to be the most judgmental person on divorce. I was always like, oh, God, if you can work out anything. You know, just try a little harder. Well, if only one person's trying with all their might, it still sometimes happens. And so anyway, how many people here are dealing with that kind of loss of a betrayal of someone close, or just a total disappointment? And that's the type of loss that you're talking about. I just want to kind of get a feel of what the audience is. So is that for a lot of people? Is death the issue that you're dealing with? A lot of death. Death is one that lasts forever. Though I have to say, divorce too. You know, it's hard. Suicide. Oh. Death is very difficult. When they've chosen to leave you, it's even extra difficult. And so no grief is without its weight. And whatever issue you're in at the time is the issue you've got to deal with then. You know what I mean? I also went through a miscarriage. Anybody here with a miscarriage? And that's the thing that still just tears you apart. I read a book called Silent Grief.
And it's hard to hear you.
It is.
Yes.
I have a really baby voice. Isn't it funny that God would call me to speak? All right, I'll try to yell. is that all right? Is that better?
Yes.
So whatever grief you're going through, I remember right before losing Rebecca, there was a psalm. I meant to look it up so you'd know where to find it, but look for it. There's a psalm that says, "The heart knows its own pain." And I remember was studying through the psalms, and I remember putting a question mark by that. Like, what does that mean? There's got to be something there that's, I just don't understand it. And then I did. Because, you know what? Nobody else understands the grief you're in, the sorrow that you're in. And one of the most frustrating things of dealing with grief is trying to get somebody else to understand it. And I just encourage you, let that go. Let it go. There is one person who understands, and he is all you need. He has suffered every kind of grief you can imagine. I remember the day being down at the beach and crying my heart out so hard. It was Mother's Day. I was pregnant for the first time. I was so excited about being a mom and so scared. So scared to do it alone. And my husband brought me through a yo-yo in between all his other girls. He wanted me again. And it was torture. It was up and down, up and down. This can work? No, it won't. Yes, it can. No, it won't. Mother's Day, it was another day that it turned back to no. Spent the day with him, and then he wanted me to, his mother wanted me to go out to dinner and celebrate with them, and he had made it clear earlier that no, this wasn't going to be. He didn't want me. And so instead, which was very hard for me to say no to the mother-in-law, but I did, and I went down the beach instead, and I cried so hard. And I remember just feeling like, physically, my heart might break, like it could burst. It hurt that bad. And I remember just sitting there and realizing that the pain that Jesus Christ felt for me, because he was betrayed by a kiss. So he understood, this was one of his dear friends, he understood what I was feeling. And that the sweat that he perspired was blood drops. His heart did burst. His veins did burst. The pain was that intense for him. And he spoke to me so clearly on that beach. And he said, "I understand. And nobody else has to. Nobody." Because that was my cry. God, who can I talk to? Is there anyone that would help me with this? Is there anyone? And I was still trying to, you know, keep it quiet because I really hoped it would work. And if anyone knew he was unfaithful and then I stayed with him, then, you know, his reputation was gone. So I didn't want anyone to know how bad it was. A lot of people thought it was all about me. I was the one leaving. Anyway, it's hard when you're the one accused of what you actually haven't done to you. Jesus understands that too. I mean, he was accused of all the things that he was dying for us for. I want to look at how he dealt with grief today. Do you know that in John, where do I want to go? I want to go to Matthew 14. In Matthew 14, he feeds 5,000 people. Ever heard that story? In fact, I like to pray the way we didn't pray yet. So would you just bow your heads and pray with me? God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you can take small amounts of nothing and feed thousands of people. And God, I just ask you that right now, as I speak, Lord, your vessel, would you feed these women that are hurting? Would you give them what they need, God, to be strong again? Would you nourish them? Would you strengthen them and uphold them? God, would you use what little I have and multiply it? God, may the words that I speak be yours. May it be your heart. Lord, anything of my flesh that goes out, would you just let it fall down? God, that your spirit would go and plant seeds here, that you would continue to grow in these women, that they would bear much fruit in their lives, even through their heartache.
that they are in Jesus' name. Amen.